Welcome to you, everyone here this morning. A big welcome to everyone watching online too as well. So glad you're here. You know, it's a good time to be alive, isn't it? You know, 2024 looked like, you know, 2023, you're looking at what's 24 going to look like? Well, you know, it's going to be, somebody said, you know, it's going to be one of the toughest. It's going to be a tough year, but it's going to be a really good year. So I believe that's for all of us. It's going to be a good year. I don't know how many people have said that to me. Even though they've gone through hard times in the past, you know what? I feel 2024 is going to be a good year for us. I believe it's a good year for the church, good year for you personally. No matter what you're going through, it's going to be good because God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, so while into the series called Strengthen, let's pray. Thank you, Father. Father, so good to be worshiping in your presence. Sitting in your presence, hearing your word. God, I pray that you would unstop every ear to hear what your spirit wants to say through this word, this message. Thank you, Lord. It's truth that sets us free. Truth that strengthens us, gives us courage. Truth that gives us faith, Lord. That to do all these things within us, Lord. Let the word of God have its full force in our lives as we release it, as we accept it. And we believe it, and we live it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so the title of my message this morning is Over the Wall. Over the Wall. Of course, our theme scripture is this one. I'm going to keep repeating this one because it's really important. Isaiah chapter 54, verses 2 and 3, which says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you were spread out to the right and to the left. Such a great scripture for our times and our season. and some very specific words like enlarge, stretch. I like the phrase, do not hold back. Lengthen, strengthen. And then it says, you will spread out to the right and to the left. Now, we're going to take you to Genesis chapter 49th chapter in Genesis. And I preached out of this a few weeks ago, but we're going to talk anyway. This is a time, Genesis chapter 49 is when Jacob, he's now an old man, and he's at the end of his age, and he's got 12 sons. And so he wants to speak over his sons before he leaves, which is really what we should be doing, speaking God's word over our kids, right? So that's what he does. He's a good father in that respect. So he prophesies, actually, God's word over each of the lives of his children. So he gets to his son, Joseph. He comes to Joseph, and he says to Joseph, Joseph is a fruitful bough, a main branch of the vine, a fruitful bough by a spring, a well, a fountain. Its branches run over the wall, influencing others. The skilled archers have bitterly attacked and provoked him. They have shot at him and harassed him, but his bow remained firm and steady in the strength that does not fail. For his arms were made strong and agile by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. Now, verse 25. By the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who blesses you with blessings of the heavens above, blessings lying in the deep that couches beneath, blessing of the nursing breasts and of the fertile womb, in other words, the blessing of children, the blessings of your father are greater than the blessings of my ancestors Abraham and Isaac, up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, even on the crown of the head of him who was the distinguished one, and the one who is prince among, separate from his brothers. Wow, what a word to receive. What an incredible word that Joseph received, right? Now, the story of Joseph is an amazing story. 14 chapters, Genesis 37, right to Genesis 50. But really, it's a story about Jesus. I'm going to show you how it's a story of Jesus. The story of Joseph starts off with separation. With separation and betrayal by his brothers. And he got a raw deal. But it wasn't just one raw deal he got in his life. If you read the rest of his story, and we're not going to go read the whole story, so you got to go home and read it if you haven't read it. But you read his story, and it's not just one raw deal. It's a series of raw deals that he experiences in his life. It's a series of disappointments, setbacks, injustice. 13 years of disappointment. You could say, wow, talk about being unlucky. And you could say that about Joseph until you read the end of his story. All these difficult, hard setbacks, issues happened to Joseph. You know, but one of the most amazing things about Joseph, you know what it is? On your screen, I've got to make a point of it. Joseph did not get bitter. He didn't get bitter. Joseph could have been a bitter person, a bitter guy, you know, bitter guy, filled with self-pity. Oh, woe is me. You know, it's the story of my life. Have you heard people say that? You know, it just seems like everything bad happens to me. It's the story of my life. Woe is me. Joseph could have been like that type of person. But the question is this. How did he stay bitter free? How did he do that? I mean, I read his story. I think, oh, wow. I mean, I don't know how he did it. I just don't know. I don't know how he made it through like 13, 14 chapters and comes to a place where he's still believing in God. I mean, it's amazing. There's an exclamation mark. Here's what I believe kept Joseph from being bitter. It's on your screen. Joseph found a well, a spring, a fountain. Verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, by a spring, a well, a fountain. Now, the picture that his father Jacob paints of Joseph's future is one of a bountiful, thriving, walled-in garden right next to a well or a spring. A garden that was so lush, so fruitful, that the boughs of his branches literally extended over the walls and reached out into the neighboring areas. And Joseph did not drink from a stream of bitterness. Joseph kept drinking from this fountain of his faith and his trust and his hope in Almighty God, in Jehovah God. See, this passage that we just read, this passage of Scripture represents Jesus Christ, who is the what? The wellspring of life. Jesus is the living water. That's, we know that that's what Scripture says. He's the fountain of life. John chapter 4, 14. Jesus is had an encounter with a woman at the well. And he says to this woman, as he's asked, you know, he's asking for a drink of natural water. And then he says to this woman later on in the story, he says to her, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I will give them will become in them a what? A spring, right? A spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now God is talking to us. God is talking to us. When you found Jesus, what did you find? A well. A wellspring of life. Now, let me ask you, did Jesus really make a change in your life? Come on, did he? Of course he did, right? Did you get living water? Of course you did. But here's the thing. So often, yet it could just be all about us, about just us coming to church and just that's it. See, we have this spring. We have this water inside, this living water. But the question is, does the water flow over the walls into our home life, family life, work life, into the normal routines of our life? Does it? See, the question is, does God see us taking the water, this living water, beyond the walls into the community to the lost and hurting people who don't even know about Jesus? That's the question. See, Joseph didn't get bitter, and when he got blessed, he blessed others. Joseph didn't get bitter, and when he got blessed, He blessed others. He didn't hoard it for himself. He gave abundantly to other people. If you read his story, he gave to Pharaoh. Remember how he gave to Potiphar? I mean, he was a slave in the household, but he was such a great worker, so much integrity and honesty, that literally Potiphar put him in as manager of the whole household. He gave to the warden in the prison. He was falsely accused of making advances against Pharaoh, Potiphar's wife, so he ended up in prison. But he's in prison, and he gives himself to the warden. In fact, he does so well, he's so faithful, so loyal, that the warden literally puts him in charge of all the prisoners. Something he should have done, but he says, the scripture says, he doesn't care, he doesn't have a care in the world because Joseph is looking after the prisoners. He gave to his brothers. He gave to Pharaoh. He gave to the Egyptians. You know, he just didn't think about himself. He cared about people. And this is terrible 7-year famine that comes when he's second in command under Pharaoh. And it's a terrible famine. And ultimately, all those people living in those areas around Egypt would have died if Joseph hadn't done what he did. Amen? Next point, I believe that here's what happened. Joseph saw beyond the walls. Joseph saw beyond his walls. You know, if the Bible is true, if somebody doesn't reach those people beyond our walls, then they're headed to a Christless eternity without God. Amen? And I believe that we, as a church, as part of the church, we need to get a vision that goes over the wall. In Acts chapter 9, is a story of Saul or Paul. Saul became Paul. And in Acts chapter 9, is the story of Paul in a rage. And he's got this vendetta against Christians. I mean, he's a Pharisee. He's a member of a religious group of people, a sect called the Pharisees. And he has this vengeance against Christians. So he goes out of his way to find Christians, murder Christians, have them executed. Well, one day, he's on a trip to Damascus to get the Christians there and bring them back to Jerusalem. But while he's on the way, the heavens open up. This bright light shines upon him. He falls to the ground, and he's totally blind. And then this voice out of heaven speaks to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice says back to him, "I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus." He said, "I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you." And so he's led, he's blind, he's led into the city, and he's there for 3 days. He's blind. And he's praying out to God. And he has this vision that this man named Ananias is going to come and lay hands upon him, and he's going to be healed. And that's exactly what happens. In Acts chapter 9, verse 17, it says, placing his hands on Saul, this is Ananias, placed his hands on Saul, and he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now listen to this. The next verse says, immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. And I believe these scales are religious scales. So I believe that religion can blind you. I believe that you can be a born-again Christian and still be affected by a religious spirit. I believe the religious spirit is one of the dominating spirits over southern Alberta and Lethbridge. And I believe it's a spirit that's really, it has this appearance of being good and powerful, right? But really, it's deadly. And it opposes the Holy Spirit. And so Ananias comes, lays his hands on him. The scales falls off his eyes. After that, he was water baptized. He got filled with the Spirit, and then he got his well. And if you study the story of Paul, Paul's well flowed to reach the nations around him. And there's no other man that has ever made a kingdom impact in his world more than Paul made. Now, I'm going to take you to John chapter 7. John chapter 7 is a time when all the people around the known world who know about God and think about God have come into the city of Jerusalem. The population of Jerusalem has swelled with people. And the reason why they come, because of a feast, one of the three greatest feasts that the Hebrews celebrated, And possibly the greatest one was called the Feast of the Passover, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so the whole city is packed. And there's this, it's the end of the Passover feast. It's the eighth day, the last and the greatest day. And on that last and the greatest day was the grand finale ceremony, in which the priest, the high priest, would take a vial of water, water that came from the wells of Jerusalem, and he would stand in front of the altar, and he would raise this vial of water high, and he would begin to pour it out on the altar, and you could hear a pin drop. Everybody could hear the water splashing. And as the water hit that altar and it splashed upon that altar, immediately there would be a moment of silence. And then everyone would erupt. The musicians, the singers, the people would erupt in song. And they would sing, "All our fountains are in thee. With joy you will drink out of the water from the wells of salvation." And it was in this very moment of silence, as all eyes were focused on the high priest, everyone all the attention was going there at that moment. And then John 7, verse 37 says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, is at this very moment that Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Every eye, Jesus shouted. He got the attention of every eye. He was saying, no, it's not religion. It's not ceremony. It's not the law that you're going to get life through. It's through me. I am the living water. Amen? And so, it says, Jesus said, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. If you are a BASF Christian, if you are a born-again, Spirit-filled Christian, then you have this well inside of you. This well is inside of you. Same well. And listen, when we drink, this is a fountain we need to be drinking out of daily, right? Daily. When we drink of this fountain, we have peace in the midst of chaos. We have strength in our weaknesses. We have courage in the midst of fear. We have life in the midst of death. And Jesus is still calling us out to us. Come to the fountain and drink daily. Amen? Come daily in prayer and obedience. Drink from his presence. Jesus is the fountain of life. He is the source of our life. He is our sustainer of our life. And Jesus is the answer every person is really looking for, even though he does not realize it at that time. Amen? And we know this well represents the receiving of the gift of Holy Spirit. And this is the gift that Peter talked about on the day of Pentecost. In verse 38, Acts 2, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit." Peter said, you know, it's like God says, I will put a well inside of you. I'm going to put a well inside of you. Joseph found a well that watered his soul, that watered his life. And he didn't keep this well to himself, but he put his branches over the wall. And because he did, greater blessing came on his life than all his other brothers. If you read the blessings of all the other brothers, most of them are just one-liners. The one that comes closest to him is Judah. Judah has two verses, two lines of blessings. But Joseph got five lines of blessing. And because he did, he was blessed, because he did not keep the blessing to himself. It's like God says, I'm going to bless you double for what you did. Because you were willing to reach out and to help other people, right? Not just to be blessed on a Sunday morning with this living water, but because something happened in your heart, the compassion of Jesus grabbed a hold of your heart, and you decided that you needed to go outside the walls and to share that compassion that God put in your heart. Amen? Are you tracking with me this morning? The question is, what's outside our walls? What's outside our walls? Outside our walls is someone who is so addicted with drugs that they basically have given up and they're thinking of ending it all. Outside the walls is someone who just received a bad medical report and they don't know where to turn. Outside the walls can be a young woman. She's just gotten pregnant and she wants to abort the baby. Outside of the walls is a senior shut in, and he or she is so lonely, and she's thinking, I've got nothing left to live for. Outside the walls is someone who's been so beat up and so abused in her life, sexually abused, that the devil has lied. She just can't seem to get over that hurt and pain. And the devil has lied to her and said, you might as well just take your life. People out there are crying and they are dying. And we have the living water. Amen? We have living water. And I say, if you don't have it, then you can get it today. There's only one well. There's only one way. There's only one way answer for their problems, and that's Jesus. It's Jesus. And I say, it's time to send our branches over the walls. It's time to send our branches over the walls. I'm reading this great book. It's called The Kingdom Come by Reggie O'Neill. And I just want to read some of what he wrote. And I think because it's really pertinent to today's message. O'Neill says, millions of well-meaning Christ Jesus followers have been led to believe that their primary spiritual identity is their church affiliation, and that their devotion to God is measured by church-centered metrics such as participation in and support of church activities. In the kingdom-centered understanding of the church, the gathering of like-minded believers doesn't go away. In fact, it becomes even more essential for worship, encouragement, instruction, and fellowship. But those activities won't be seen as ends of themselves. And success will not be defined by the size of the gathering, the sublimity of the sermon, or the sense of God's presence on any given Sunday. The church is not the point of the kingdom. The kingdom is the point of the church. So good, isn't it? So good. And here's just a bit more. I've got it up on the screen. He goes on to say, the kingdom life is the life of good deeds and service to others. Let me say that again. The kingdom life is the life of good deeds and service to others. It's worth doing. In giving our lives away, we gain them back. We ourselves pass from death to life as we help others do the same. Jesus certainly calls us to a radically different way of life in the kingdom. You know what that radically different way of life is? It's this. It's this call. It's a call to be a people of blessing. To live lives of generosity and grace and service and sensitivity. To be positive examples of joy and contentment in a culture awash in negativity and anxiety. Such a picture of society today, isn't it? What does Jesus call us? What's a great metaphor? Salt, light. We are the salt. We are the light. We are the light. And as the light, we should be pushing back the darkness, right? In our neighborhoods, in our workplace, you know, in our schools, and all of that is over-the-wall stuff, isn't it? I'm basically finished here. Almost finished here. I think one of the reasons why Christians get lukewarm is because they get so self-centered on themselves. I think we get lukewarm when we stop reaching people for Jesus. This church will be a lukewarm church if it stops reaching people for Jesus. What does Jesus think of lukewarmness? Yeah. He says it makes him throw up. God wants to be red hot on fire for him. He wants us to be over the wall people like Joseph. But you know what I believe? I believe the Spirit of God would say to you guys, to us this morning, you guys, good language. He would say to us this morning, there are many, many Josephs in this house. I'm calling Josephs into this house. And God is saying this, I will bless you double. I will bless you double if you will make a commitment to go over the wall to bless other people. Amen? And I believe, I said this so many times before, the only reason why we're here on earth, the only reason why we didn't get translated to heaven the moment we accepted Christ and got born again was because God has a work for us to do here on earth. He's got us here to finish the work that he began. Amen? And that's to seek and to save the lost. Because you know, I don't know when the Lord's going to come back. And you know, there are lots of different opinions about, you know, feelings about, you know, when is Jesus going to come back? And you look at world affairs and the darkness and the atrocities, and you think, well, he may be coming back sooner. But whenever it is, you know, we got to be ready, right? Because when the final trumpet blows, it's only those who have received the living water, who received Jesus, that will go to an eternity to be with God. And all the rest, they're headed to a Christless eternity in hell. And I believe that we have a part to play in rescuing as many people as we can out of darkness and bring them into the light. We have the living water. And if we don't take the living water to the lost around us, then we're going to miss the rewards that God has for us in heaven. I'm going to finish with this. 5 generations after Joseph was a guy, a descendant, his name was Naboth. And Naboth had this incredible, beautiful garden, lush vineyard. And everybody that went by Naboth's vineyard thought, wow, that guy, he must have a green thumb. He must have this incredible ability in order to create a beautiful garden such as that. But here's the thing about this garden. This garden was right beside the king's gardens, and that king was Ahab. And Ahab looked at that garden, and he said, wow, I want that garden. I want that garden. And so he went face to face with Naboth, and he said, Naboth, sell me your garden. Sell me your garden. I'll pay you a fair price for it. I'll even give you a better plot of land. But Naboth refused the king. You know, in those days, you should not refuse the king, right? But Naboth refused the king. And this is what he said, 1 Kings 21, verse 3. But Naboth replied, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my ancestors. Wow. 5 generations later, the walls of Joseph's blessing flowed down to the 5th generation, right down to Naboth. You know what this says? It says, how we live affects the generations after us. It's very important how we live. You know, the Spirit of God is saying, is trying to speak to us. And I think he's speaking to not just our church or a church. He's speaking to the church, right? It's not our church. It's not a church. It's the church. It's God's church. And God's speaking to the church. It's time to not hold back. It's time to go over the walls. It's time to reach people for Jesus Christ. You know, wherever Joseph was, wherever he was, he reached out to help everyone that he could. And because of that, his blessing was multiplied. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Are you sharing what you have with others? Second question, are you reaching out to those around you with the good news? Because if not, you may be missing the fullness of God's blessing in your life. God is saying, I'm looking for a church who's not just content to stay within its walls. I'm looking for a church who's willing to send us branches over the walls. Amen? Bow your heads. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I would like you to agree with me in prayer. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, would you please agree with me in this prayer? Father in heaven, give us eyes to see. Give us vision to see over these walls. Father in heaven, give us ears to hear the cries of the poor and the hurting. Father in heaven, give us hearts that care to go over the wall to reach people. And as we spend our time this week in prayer, meditation, in your presence, Lord, Father, I pray you would break our hearts with what breaks your heart, Father. Help us to adjust, change our principles, priorities, and our practices in our daily routines of life. And Father, I pray, let there be a major culture shift begin to happen in this city, in the church. An over-the-wall shift, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. But just keep your heads bowed for just a couple more minutes. I say, you know, you may be here today, and maybe you feel dry, and maybe you feel thirsty. You know you need something for your soul. I want to tell you what you need and who you need is Jesus, because he's the wellspring. He's the gift of living water. And if you've never received Christ into your heart today, this is your time, this is your turn to receive Jesus. Today you can receive joy like never before. The Bible says, with joy you will draw from the waters of salvation. You can have a joy in your heart like you've never experienced before. And today you can experience a whole new dimension of being a child of God living in the kingdom of God. And so if that's you and you need to change and you're dry and you're thirsty, I'm going to lead you into this prayer, a simple, short prayer. But I guarantee it'll be a prayer that will change your life forever. So if that's you, please pray after me and mean it with all your heart. And you'll never be the same. Are you ready? Pray for after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and shedding your blood to pay for all my sins. Please forgive me, Lord, for every sin that I've committed. And today, I invite you, I receive you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Now, if you said that prayer for the first time, I want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand if you received Christ this morning. I see that hand. Thank you. Anyone else receive Jesus this morning? Receive Jesus. The gift of salvation is a gift so priceless, can't be bought. Jesus paid the price for you. Amen? If you've said that prayer, and if you're watching, you said that prayer too as well, I want you to respond to your next step. If you said that prayer and you're here this morning, please, right after the service, go to the Connections kiosk, and there will be someone there who will give you a gift and tell you what your next step of faith will be in your journey with Christ. What an incredible, incredible decision you have made today. And if you're watching online, you made that decision, touch that hand near the bottom of the screen, and we'll connect you to someone. And we'll talk to you about your next step of faith too as well. Amen? Amen.